Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one-coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Messy & Co. I am Ashley, here as always with my amazing co-host, Gian, and we are recording this right now, Tuesday night, after a very busy game and very busy couple of days in their Miami world. But how are you doing, Gian?
I'm doing great. Great. Excited to be here and talk more Inter Miami. Excited to talk to everybody that's going to be listening to us, and as always, Inter Miami always keeping it interesting for us and giving us a lot to talk about. So just excited to get into it.
Yeah, wow, so much to talk about. I mean, you know, we're going to recap the game, we're going to talk about a couple of team updates, we're going to obviously talk about Messi and the Argentina call up. When is that happening? Because the shadow has been looming and it's getting closer and closer. But to start off with, let's do a match recap for DC United, because we were both there, and the game started a little later than expected because of a rain lightning delay, and we thought maybe the rain had subsided, but no, it did not. And for most of the first half, it was torrential downpour, crazy weather, 0-0 game, not the prettiest game of all time, against a difficult defense, difficult circumstances, but capped with an incredible Leo Campana goal in extra time to seal the victory. But what are your thoughts about the overall night and all of it?
Yeah, that torrential downpour on the field was just insane. It was insane. I'm sure, like, from where we were at in the press box, you couldn't see much. Like, it was
couldn't
just
see anything.
Insane. Yeah. And I can only imagine what it looked like on the field as a player. And as someone who has played, and I know that you played soccer as well, I don't know if you've ever played it in a rainy weather like that. No, I have, and it is tough to play like that. Not only is it uncomfortable, it's like the water, and it's probably very cold, hitting you and getting you in the eyes, and then you just feel drenched and it just weighs you down. The ball rolls differently, the ball does get stuck. It's not the easiest atmosphere to play in, condition to play in. So that must have been tough in the beginning, and you can kind of tell like the product on the field was not the best, right? So I would say, I think, you know, looking at this Inter Miami team, this is the second game in a row where they went 90 minutes without scoring a goal. So when you look at it from that perspective, I think that it is a bit worrisome to me. I know that when you look at the results and you say, hey, out of two games, you got 1 point away and you got the three at home, on paper, that looks good. But when you're looking at the product on the field and you're looking at a team that's got amazing players, that got Suarez, that has Messi, and again, Messi didn't play in Orlando, but they had a really good team. To see this team struggle two games in a row to score, and for the only reason why we scored in this game was because out of happenstance, it just so happened that we got an extra sub because of a concussion protocol. That's the only reason that Campana saw the pitch. It's the only reason he saw the pitch, and he ended up with a heroic goal. But outside of that, Inter Miami struggled very much. Again, two games in a row where they haven't scored in the first 90 minutes. Orlando didn't score at all. I think that was a bit worrisome for me. So I want to see this high velocity, high octane offense get back to its normal ways of scoring a lot of goals. But I also don't want to take anything away, I think, from this DC United team that played the best defense they have all season. And yeah, like to me, I don't know if it looked like to you, I felt like DC United was playing like if you know, a
Champions League final or something. Yeah,
a team that had just won the first leg in a Champions League game and just had to secure the score in the second game. Yeah. And they were playing with five defenders. They were playing with four midfielders, Benteke alone up top. They weren't pressuring Miami deep. They were waiting for Miami to hit the midfield line before engaging. And it was just like the most incredible defense I've ever seen. Inter Miami still, despite, had a few chances there where they weren't able to score. Suarez had one, I think, that Jordi Alba, or was it? I think Jordi Alba maybe had a chance. I can't remember correctly, but there were a few chances there. But nonetheless, they, you know, a heroic Campana goal in the 94th minute. He came in minute 93, 30 seconds later, he's scoring his goal. And it was just incredible to see him celebrate that goal. I'm sure the ladies loved it with him ripping his shirt off and throwing it up into the air. And he was actually asked about that celebrate, or actually I asked him about that, I think, or somebody did, in the post-game conference. And because it was quite emphatic, if you think about it, the way he just threw his shirt off, he jumped in the air, he screamed, and they asked him, and he said it was, you know, he puts in a lot of hours of training. He puts he's gone through a lot of different emotions, from happiness to sadness to frustration, I guess, in losing the amount of minutes that he had, especially last season. And understandably, when you bring in a great like Suarez, and for all of that to just culminate in him finally getting some more time and being able to get in the win, that was quite an emotional goal for him. I think probably one of the most emotional in his career. And it was just great to see that. And hopefully that gives Tata more confidence in Campana, and something that we've talked about, and we've only seen it once for a little bit, but maybe it's time to start using, you know, two center forwards and having Campana and Suarez see the pitch. But, you know, there's a lot to take out of that game. But ultimately, at the end of the day, despite Miami not having their best performance, they come out with the win, a gritty, tough, very well-fought game, didn't give up until the end. And not all wins are going to be pretty, and this one definitely wasn't, but Inter Miami gets the 3 points, and they're still at the top of the table in the East. So,
I mean, I agree with everything you said. I think that, like, there was some negatives in the game and, you know, bad habits or trends that we were seeing, most notably the fact that we lost our starting left center back, Nicolas Freire, to an ACL injury that he got during the game, which is just such a shame because he was playing so well and he's on loan, so probably won't be playing for Inter Miami again. And he was doing, him and Aviles were developing such a good partnership. Our defense has been immense the last few games, immense. And it's going to be a big setback because, you know, it's whoever they're going to, I think, in the summer, go out and try and get a new center back because they can use the money that they used for Freire because he has a injury designation. You know, there's a couple seasoned center backs leaving Europe this summer that, you know, one of them could potentially do. But until then, it's going to be Christoph and maybe Ryan Saylor, Noah Allen, probably some mixture of that, but probably mainly Christoph coming in. Does it mean Tata's going to go back to a back five, or is he going to stick with the back four? A lot of questions that we just, I don't know, we're going to have to wait and see. But before I go to that, the reason I put Leo Campana Wonder Goal is because I think we just needed to give him a second for his flowers, because he's had to be very patient. He's had obviously a subdued role. It's messed with his confidence a little bit, but fate, kismet worked out that he got to come into the game at that moment. And what did he do? He immediately made his opportunity. He was watching Messi. Messi told him to go for the run. He made the run with his weaker right foot, did that volley shot that was just unbelievable and is going to give him hopefully all the confidence in the world. So while there are other negatives to the game, that is certainly a positive.
Yeah, he's a true professional. You know, he obviously has had his minutes cut in probably more than half, but he keeps himself healthy. He keeps training and he keeps himself available, always ready for the call. Yeah. And he definitely answered that call. And it was just something that I think really everybody enjoyed. Everybody on the fans, the teammates enjoyed. We saw that.
Suarez was the happiest for him on the whole pitch.
Suarez ran and actually picked up his shirt for him. It was funny. Alba jumps into his arms like a baby. And Campana's just carrying him. Messi comes to celebrate with him. Everybody was just incredibly happy. And I think that that just shows that this team is has gelled, and they have a respect and a love for each other. And everybody celebrated that Campana goal, from even us in the press box. I mean, that was just quite incredible. And the ability for him to not make that run was an insanely good run. He read Busquets perfectly. Busquets read him perfectly. So the communication was great there, which also flowers to Busquets, because that was an incredible pass. And then not only does Campana make the run, he's able to control the pass, which was a lofted pass over the back line. He's able to control it and then score that. That was an incredibly, I think, a tough shot that he actually made go in.
Yeah.
We've seen him do these things before. So it just kind of stinks that his time has been limited. We've seen him pull out insane shots. We've seen him make something out of nothing before. And to end the game that way, and for him to hopefully, again, boost his confidence. And who knows, with Copa America coming around, hopefully the eyes in Ecuador are watching this and the coach is watching this, and hopefully he gets an opportunity. I know it's wouldn't be good for us, for Miami, but at the end of the day, for him, it'd be a good thing. And as every player does, it's very valuable and important, and to be called to your national team. And that's something that he wants. And he's mentioned it quite a few times before. So whereas if he gets called, we might miss him, when he comes back, he's going to come back with a lot more confidence than he did now. So I hope that he gets called to Ecuador. I know we need him as an Ecuadorian. I would love to see him on the team, but super happy for Campana. And I hope he starts to get more minutes.
100% agree. But like I mentioned before, we did lose Nicolas Ferre. And so while we're about to talk about someone who's coming back from injury, which is very excited. Yeah. What is your feeling about that? How, as it relates to our defense, and potentially what it's going to be, with who's going to be replacing him?
It's really tough. It's really tough. It's disheartening. It's sad to have a guy come in. He was coming in from an injury. He recuperates here in Miami. Then he finds himself in good form. He finds himself gelling into that defense. Him and Aviles created a great partnership in the back. They've continued to develop and grow together, where this defense has, as of late, been really good. Over the last two games, zero goals conceded, which is really good for us. And, once this defense, which has been the brunt of criticism for a long time, is finally looking great with that Inter Miami luck, unfortunately, now it's time to try to figure it out again. And it took some time. We're in a week, what is it, match day 14 or 15, something like that. And it finally looked like it was, just firing on all cylinders. So I just feel horrible for him. And something that you mentioned previously is he's on loan. He's probably not playing another game for Miami, so quite sad. But he looked, he looks like a guy that knows that he's put in hard work his entire career. He posted that on social media, and he says that he's ready to put in the work to get back. So just all the best of luck and best wishes to him and what happens moving forward to him. But as far as our defense is concerned, we're pretty thin. In regards, we've got players, maybe at center back, but we're thin in regards to, I think, the skill level at our center back position. Aviles is obviously our best center back. And then Christoph is a seasoned vet, but we know that he does struggle, especially when he's facing those one-on-ones. And Inter Miami, because of the fact that they play so offensive and so attack-minded, a lot of times the midfield and a lot of the players that would be covering and helping out at the center, our center backs are typically up higher, and our team lends itself, our style lends itself to a lot of counterattacks, which means a lot of the times our center backs are left with one-on-ones. And Christoph has definitely been one of those that has suffered the most because of that. He's not the fastest. So I just hope that he's able to kind of maybe learn or something and realize that, I don't know, just play different positional wise. Maybe Tata can help out with having Busquets play a bit more back and help. I don't know. There's different things that can be done there. Let's just say that our defense is going to take a hit, and it's tough. There are a lot of really good, I think, quality defenders from Europe, like you said, that are going to be available on the.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Summer transfer market, one that comes to mind is Varane, the Frenchman, who is going to be on the transfer market as a free agent. So to me, I would love that. It just doesn't seem realistic right now because of the fact that we have all our 3 DP spots, you know, right now taken, and I just don't see it viable. So I think it's going to be
Ramos, could be Nacho.
It could be. It's going to have to be somebody that's under the DP status. It's going to be somebody that's going to have a salary of at least 600K or 600 and something K or less, which would not make him a DP. Or obviously you can get it to that level with some GAM or TEM, which I'm sure that we probably have some because of the recent transactions that we've done. But yeah, just kind of sucks, man. It really does.
Yeah. So it'll just, we'll have to just wait and see to see how that all plays out. But while we are losing him, someone we are gaining that I'm very excited about is Federico Redondo, who has been out for over 8 weeks, obviously with an knee injury he got during CONCACAF Champions Cup, someone that we've missed severely, who has been notably back in training today and yesterday and could be back in the starting lineup pretty soon, which is pretty good timing, knowing how our roster is going to be changing.
Yeah. To have Redondo back is huge. He's the second best, in my opinion, he's the second best midfielder after Busquets.
Yeah.
He's just incredible. His ability to defend, his ability to read the passing lanes and stop the offense on the opponent's team, the ability to play make and play out of that midfield. He very much involves himself in the offense through his vision and creativity. Yeah. So that's great because you've got Rojas, you've got Messi, and throw in another guy that can create. That's just huge for this team. So to have him back is going to be just great. And then I hate to kind of go back to what we were talking about earlier, but this ties in because we're talking about players that are coming back. And with our defense really taking a hit, Ian Frey is another player that back. He actually played his first game with Inter Miami CF2, in which I believe he had an assist and he scored a penalty, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. So he's somebody that can also be very helpful in the defense and maybe play alongside Aviles if Christoph isn't the option there. So just wanted to mention that before it was top of mind. But yeah, to have it on the back is going to be great. He's not going to be going to Copa America, but he might go to the Olympics. Not sure. I'd have to kind of read up on that. Not sure if you're aware if he has yet.
Yeah.
But he's a big time name for Miami. And just, I mean, the reinforcement in the midfield is going to be huge. And that's going to be a good, tough task for Tata to kind of figure out what that midfield is going to look like. Because with the skill level and the amount of really good quality players that we have, when you've got Redondo, Busquets, Cremaschi, Rojas, and then Gomez, when he comes back, it's just going to be fun to see this midfield play. And then going back to the defense, with our defense taking a hit, Redondo is going to be the guy that's going to be able to run more than Busquets does. So he'll be able to kind of help Busquets anchor that midfield and help out on the defensive end as well.
Yeah, I was even going to say, you know, there may be even some situations where they'll put Busquets as a center back and they'll have a midfield of Redondo, Cremaschi, and Ruiz or Rojas or something like that. And I mean, I wouldn't want that every game, but there are some games where, like, if you needed to, you could have Busquets as a center back.
They did that already too, but it was because of injury.
Yeah.
So I mean, I think that if Christoph is around, I don't think he would put Busquets, but let's say Christoph gets injured.
I'd like Ryan Saylor to get some minutes if he's healthy.
Yeah, Ryan Saylor has, I think that last game that he played, he did fairly well for us.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly, we were praising him. He had done a good job. So
yeah,
it's up between those two. I think Saylor gives you more speed, more agility. Christoph gives you more experience, a veteran presence. So it's really up to Tata to choose what he wants. I mean, for me, it'd be tough to choose between the two. They're, to me, they're very, very similar or not. One doesn't kind of like stand above the other, right? Where I need that guy, you know, so.
Yeah. I mean, look, we'll wait and see. And, you know, obviously this is just kind of like a quick recap episode, a little news that we're doing today, but we're going to do a preview episode later in the week. That is about obviously the game against Vancouver availability. You know, there's going to be a couple of training sessions between now and then. There was the open training session tonight. So we'll probably have a better idea of maybe who we think is going to be playing in place of Freire and how that's going to kind of shape up later in the week. But someone who hopefully is available. Now, I know there was some things in training saying, oh, he was, you know, favoring his leg a little bit tonight. Lionel Messi just, I think, always favors that leg and, like, you know, is delicate with himself. People freak out every time he, like, touches his leg. You know, I mean, maybe it's something, but also he kind of just does that all the time. Yeah. But someone who, like I said, I hope we have for the next week or two, but then we know we will not be having is Lionel Messi, who was named yesterday, to no surprise to anyone, part of the provisional Argentina roster for their friendlies before Copa America. Obviously, it would be, you know, the camp and everything meeting up beforehand to start preparing for Copa America. And the question that, you know, we asked on Twitter/X and that we are going to talk about now is, well, when is he going to go? When is he going to go? We said it for the game is June 20th, the first official Copa America game for Argentina. But when in the weeks before is he going to go join?
That's going to be a tough one because we know that Argentina should be arriving to start camp within the next couple of weeks. So how soon Messi decides to join camp, it's kind of, I think, where we'll kind of figure that part out. We have Vancouver coming up this Saturday. Then we've got Atlanta United Wednesday. So it's a short turnaround on the May 29th.
And a cross-country flight.
And a cross-country flight, exactly. And then you've got Inter Miami versus St. Louis here at Chase Stadium on June 1st, the following Saturday. So I think that that's probably the game where you're going to – I think that's the questionable game. Is Messi going to hit that St. Louis-Miami game on June 1st? Because after that, it's June 15th, and he's definitely not going to do that because that's five days before his first game against Argentina. By that time, he's at camp. Also, they've got two friendlies scheduled before their first game for Copa America. They're going to be playing Ecuador on June 9th at Soldier Field in Chicago, and then they're going to be playing Guatemala on June 14th at FedEx Field. So then that definitely rules out Philadelphia versus Inter Miami, that match. So he's not going to play that one. So again, that just leads back to that Inter Miami St. Louis game. Is he going to play June 1st, which is 8 days before the Ecuador friendly, or is he already going to be joining camp? So that would be the one that's up in the air for me. I'm going to lean towards he does play that game and then he immediately leaves on Sunday night.
Yeah. Well, because I mean, it's you know, it's a full week after the day after the game before that game. And that should for all, especially because their headquarters are in Miami, it's for all intents and purposes should be, that could be normal. I will say this though, and I don't want it to happen because I love watching him and I don't want to not watch him. I would not be surprised if he did not go to Vancouver. I would just say, I mean, I'm not expecting that, and I'm hoping he's fine and everything is normal.
This week?
I think that there could be a situation where he doesn't go and they say it's soreness or something, and he plays Wednesday and he plays next Saturday. He plays against Atlanta and he plays against St. Louis, both home games. I think the travel is a lot. And look, I hope I'm wrong. I really genuinely hope I'm wrong and that he's there. But, you know, with him today, he was, you know, going a little quiet on his leg. There's a lot of games coming up. He has a tournament. It's, you know, it's cross country. It's like as if you're going to California even farther. And it's, you know, Miami is down here. Vancouver's all the way up there above Seattle. I don't know. I hope I'm wrong, by the way. I hope I'm not. But I'm just saying if you hear that they're like, oh, a little bit of soreness, did not travel with the team, don't be the most surprised.
I don't think he's missing Vancouver. If we were going to go that route where he's going to miss, let's just say Atlanta. Yeah, let's just say he's going to play the next three, right? And he is going to play June 1st against St. Louis, even though there's a game on the 9th, because yeah, there's 8 days between. So let's say he's going to play all three of them, and the one he's missing is against Philadelphia. If we're going to say that he's going to miss one of these three, it's Vancouver. It's not Vancouver, sorry. It's not Vancouver because you have a week's rest. you played Saturday. Saturday to me would
be, but it's travel and it's playing in the cold. I'm just saying, look, I'm just saying.
Would you rather him play in cold or would you rather him play in Atlanta? Because isn't Atlanta like hot right now too? I think
Atlanta's an indoor stadium.
Is it? Okay. So
yeah.
Is Vancouver indoor?
Are you sure it's an away game? Atlanta's an away game?
Atlanta is not an away game.
No, it's a home game.
Yeah, it's a home game. So it'd be the Heat here. It'd be a quick turnaround in the middle of, a very hot Miami, Fort Lauderdale. So, I mean, I would rather him, let's just put it this way. I would rather him play in the cold than play a midweek game with a quick turnaround in the 100-degree weather that we have here in Miami and then play again in St. Louis in 100-degree weather again here in Miami. That's the only thing, I think.
For sure.
Did I convince you?
I want to play all three and I want to play fully in all three. I'm just saying.
No, but I'm saying like, would you still think that it's Vancouver if he was going to miss?
Yeah, I don't think it's an issue of like, I think playing 4 days apart is not that strange to him. Like, especially if he doesn't have to go anywhere and he plays in the heat every day. I think like
it's a travel.
It's the travel and it's the cold and it's the, yeah, I mean, it's a 6+ hour flight both ways. They're going to play at 10:30 PM our time. And he just has a big tournament. If he didn't have a big tournament coming up, I would never question it. I'm just saying,
if it
wouldn't surprise me. It wouldn't surprise me if he didn't play this one, but he played Wednesday and Saturday. Cause then it's normal. And again, like that's kind of a normal flow. He doesn't have to go anywhere, but we'll wait and see.
But I think he's playing all three. I
hope he's playing all three. I mean, maybe also it could be a thing where he starts, you know, he plays and then he doesn't start against Atlanta, maybe comes off the bench and then he starts, you know, lots of possibilities. When it gets closer, we'll see. By Thursday, we'll get indications if there's any chance of him being on a questionable or whatever. And I mean, they're not going to travel Saturday. They're going to travel Friday. So I think, you know, we'll get more news earlier than normal.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
We'll wait and see. Let us know in the comments what you think. You think he's going to play all three games? Do you think he's going to start all three games? Do you think he's going to not play one of the games? Do you think he's not going to start one of the games? Just curious what everyone's thinking. I wouldn't think any less of him if he wasn't. I just think that they're, you know, he has to do some damage control from himself knowing he's about to go play in a huge international tournament. Like as much as I wish the focus was 100% in Miami, it's, you know, they obviously have been planning this and thinking about this for a very long time, how they want to, you know, how he plans to exert himself, you know, and but still be in good form coming into the tournament. I'm sure that's like the main question. So we'll have to see.
Yeah, of course. Argentina's his priority. I don't know if he's going to get to the World Cup. So this is definitely on the radar as maybe potentially his last
major tournament. And
he wants to be 100% physically.
Yeah,
and no risks for this tournament.
Yeah, so we'll wait and see. But this was a good recap. It's only been a couple of days since we last spoke, but obviously so much has happened, and so much will happen between now and when we speak next. But to always make sure you know what's going on, make sure you're following us on Twitter/X at Messi & Co. because we are tweeting and posting stuff constantly, breaking news, our thoughts, polls, images, videos, content, so much stuff. So make sure you're following. Make sure you like this video. Make sure you comment on this video on the 5 Reasons Sports YouTube network. Let us know which games you think Messi's going to play in or if he's going to play in all of them. And let us know what you think about the show. And last but not least, follow us on TikTok, Messi & Co. 5RSN. We are posting great clips there of our episode highlights and just growing. So any last thoughts, Gian?
No. You basically summarized it perfectly. Perfectly.
Thank you. That means a lot to me. Great. Thank you again, everyone, for watching Messi & Co. I'm Ashley. That is Gian. And we will see you next time.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine & Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.